track record.
Well, what did you want to talk about?
Well, we wanted to come and talk to you and see if it would be possible if we came into classes and for a presentation of our church, among others with the church, give some of your students a belief of what we believe in to see why we operate the way we do. It's something that we do in many of the other churches. Come in and talk to their people and open up for questions, and they ask us questions and we answer them. And of course,
see, when we first came, we didn't notice this was a college, we just noticed the chapel there, and we like to go to the ministers and see if we can come talk to their congregations.
Well, there's not any of our classes that are meeting right now that would really, you know, would be proper subject matter, that kind of thing. I'd have to talk to the dean. I don't think there would be any major objection. The only problem would be maybe finding a time, because we have a very tight curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't generally make it a practice to call off classes. Mm-hmm. What we might do, if you're interested, is I'll talk to him we just announce a special meeting time, and all you wanted to come and
speak on different subjects. There's other things you'd like to know, how the church got started, some of the beliefs we have, some of the beliefs about family programs, why we have families, so on. We get things on that. We show films with it.
Are these the same films that are showing up at Temple
Square? You seen them out there?
I thought they were similar.
Yeah, some of them are the same.
Yeah, some of them, but the two that I was particularly thinking about right now are one's titled Value of Listening, and it goes into depth and talks about why people should listen to other people, and the fact of parents mostly listening to their children, and the things that they say, like they can be all excited about something, and the parents don't pay a particular attention to them, and it's not important.
Well, this would not be a particular contribution, because, as a matter of fact, we're having what's called a practical ministry seminar. We have a man in from Lincoln, Illinois, who's teaching a special, like a meeting right now, on their home, and so I don't know that that would be a particular contribution.
I was just seeing that, for example. Uh-huh. Yeah, we would come in probably. What we wanted to do was to familiarize our church, how we got started. We have a special film.
The reason I asked if the films were the same as the ones shown down Temple Square in Salt Lake was because I viewed those.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a professor of history.
Yeah.
Ancient history, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
And the films that were shown out there on what you said, with the church, how the church began, and the basis of the Book of Mormon. I attended one which gave a summation of the Book of Mormon. Now, that is very nice. It was very beautifully done. Extremely attractive. It was historically absurd. There's not an ancient historian that I know of who's not a Mormon, for instance, who accepts the fact that the American Indian is Semitic. And I asked the experts out there, or asked the men who were giving the demonstrations out there, I said, is there any ethnologist in the world who's not a Mormon who would think that the American Indian was Semitic? He said, no, if we're the only ones. And the archaeologists who are working in South America and America, who are investigating the pre-Columbian Indian ruins, there's not a one of them that I know of who takes the Book of Mormon seriously. Now, this is a college, and we respectable now, this film, are they going to be that same kind of thing? Are they going to be that level? I mean, you see, it's one thing to show history, but what I saw out there wasn't history, it was propaganda. Now, we're not interested in turning our classroom over to denominational religious propaganda. How seriously do you fellas take history? When you say you like the film?
I love history. It's one of my favorite subjects.
I have
a lot of interest in the history of the United States and stuff like that. But in searching out some of the history of the American people and even ancient history of the Bible people and stuff like that.
Isn't
it? Some of them would be interesting. Some of the things that the Jewish people wrote in the Talmud.
As a Mormon, do you, now you know, I'm not trying to embarrass your channel, but I'm just curious about how you, because I asked this question out there, because you see, let me ask you this, is, does the Mormon Church seriously appeal to history as evidence that the Mormonism is true?
For evidence of our church is true?
They don't appeal to history at all?
Well, I'm not sure I understand. We don't take simply because some of these things that you've seen and heard about in South America, maybe our church is true. So that's what you mean. We take the spirit of the Holy Ghost, which bears witness to us. That's how we know it's true.
So you don't.
It's not that we believe that much of history does support it, yes, but that's not the basis of the claim to the truthfulness of the church.
Right.
Let me ask you this then. Now, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about Romans chapter 10, the inner witness. Is this conviction that you have that Mormonism is true based upon this inner witness of the Holy Spirit, is this subject to any kind of pressure that would be brought upon it by... That's by objective material. That is, if...
Like seeing a vision or something?
No. In other words, this conviction that you have, if this, I understand Mormonism well enough to know that your fundamental authority is this inner conviction given by the Holy Spirit. Now, the question I have is this. Is this subject to external material or criticisms? By that I mean, you believe that Mormonism is true. Is it possible that anything could be known from history that would shake that belief? Or is there anything that you could learn that would convince you that you have been misled by this inner conviction?
I mean, if someone was to show me something and I see it, I'd say, well, I guess it's not true or something. No. Because what people show me, I mean, I've had a lot of people show me things to the effect of, what's that guy's name? The manuscripts, manuscripts. I had people show us that and all the things that they base against the Book of Mormon. But it doesn't make any difference for that fact, because I have had a special...
revelation?
No, I wouldn't say a revelation. I've never seen a light or heard a voice or saw God or had an angel appear to me and say the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the kingdom of God on earth. I've never had that happen to me. But I know within myself that these things are true. I know that.
How do you know?
It's through the Holy Ghost. I've done it through prayer, through fasting.
Let me ask you this. As a Christian, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, as you do, of course.
Yes.
Now, however, see, on the day of Pentecost, this resurrection of Jesus was preached. Now, if the enemies of Christ had stolen the body, and if on the day of Pentecost they could have produced it, so here's the body, everybody recognizes it, it was only less than over a month, it would have been recognizable. If the enemies of Christ had produced the body, and everybody knew that they had produced the body, then, even though these were the enemies of Christ who produced the evidence, I would be forced to conclude that the doctrine of the resurrection of Christ was false. because there's only one kind of truth, that is, either a thing is true or it's false. It cannot be externally false and internally true.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would agree with that.
Well, then, but then you, how do you, if you agree with that, then how do you say that nothing external could ever change your mind?
Because when they show you things like, what do you call it, the scrolling manuscripts and things like that, I've read into those things and I've studied them, and I know that they're not true.
But
other evidence.
Suppose you had found that they were true.
Oh, if I found they were true and absolutely true, I'd go.
You would reject Mormonism.
I would search into it off a leaflet. I guess you could. Well, if I found out that it was absolutely true, yes, I would object it. But it's not true. I don't know.
Well, that's good to know. In other words, and if you could find, for instance, the Book of Mormon contained material that was factually false, then you would reject, as I would have to reject the Bible if I found it.
Yes, and I agree with that. If I found that the Book of Mormon was teaching something that was against the doctrine of Jesus Christ, I would go against it. Yes. Because I believe that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God, and I don't think that you can have a book that is
You don't think there are any mistakes in it or historical error?
Oh, no, uh-huh. I don't.
I don't believe
that the fact that you could have a book that would be from God and have some of it true and some of it false. It's got to be all true.
Yeah, I think that's
what I felt about.
And I believe that about the Bible. It's either all or nothing.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, then. Do you believe that Jesus was... I'm just thinking of one thing. Where do you believe Jesus was born?
I believe he was born in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem.
Right. I was listening. I was out there at Christmas time at Temple Square. I saw the nativity scene. I saw the readings from the Book of Mormon and had the presentation. It was presented that Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
The Book of Mormon said he was born in Jerusalem.
Well, it doesn't say he was born in Jerusalem. It said he was born at Jerusalem. At Jerusalem. Not in Jerusalem. And that's very important that you point that out, huh? If you'd like me to explain it to you, I can.
Wait a minute.
If he was born... Do you have a Bible on hand with you?
It's not a Bible. What?
Is this King James Version?
No, it's New American Standard. It's in Alma, isn't it?
Alma chapter 10, or chapter 7, verse 10.
You're looking at Matthew. There's nothing in the Bible that says he was born anywhere but in Bethlehem. You're not going to suggest that, are you?
That's what I'm pointing out. See, I'll explain that scripture to you, what it means, and what the prophet was trying to say when he wrote it. But first of all, I'll show you something else. They brought him on horse, and he was buried at Jerusalem, with his father. Let me read that again. He says, and they brought him on horse, and he was buried at Jerusalem with his father in the city of David. Okay, now we know that the city of David is Bethlehem, right?
What text do you have?
This is a King James Version.
Which?
2 Kings chapter 14, verse 20. Now you know the city of David is Bethlehem, right?
14, verse what?
Verse 20. The city of David is Bethlehem. And it says, and they brought him on horse, and he was buried at Jerusalem with his father in the city of David.
And all the people of Judah cast their eyes, and the sisters of the king. So you're saying what?
Okay, I'm saying that he's saying that they buried him at Jerusalem, which is with his father in the city of David. Now, if it's in the city of David, it can't be Jerusalem also, because no. Jerusalem and David were two different places. Right?
Except that the fallacy of that is that all through this section of Scripture, that Jerusalem also is called the city of David.
Yeah, but the fact Bethlehem is called the city of David.
But so is Jerusalem.
Okay, well, let me explain this, though. Let me explain the Scripture to you so you understand it. Now, you'll find out if you would have read from the beginning of the book that the people of the Book of Mormon came from Bethlehem, okay? And they came from Jerusalem, okay? Now, the writer who was writing at the time, his name was Alma. And Alma was to be shown, the Lord showed him where the Son of God was to be born. And the Lord had a problem in the fact that Alma had never been to Bethlehem. And he knew nothing about Bethlehem.
Neither
had any of his people. Only his forefathers who came across. The first writers in the Book of Mormon. And the Lord was going to tell him that he was going to be born at Jerusalem. Or he was going to be born in Bethlehem. But he knew that he knew not where Bethlehem was for the fact that he had never heard anything about it. Okay? So he said, and I'll read it. It says, "And behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem, which is the land of our forefathers, she being a virgin." And as I said, which is the land of our forefathers, she being a virgin, a precious and choice vessel, who shall be overshadowed and conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, and bring forth a son, yea, even the Son of God. Now, if you were to look up the word "at" in the Oxford Dictionary, for example, said to be a word which is approximate or an exact position. Now, therefore, it's not taking away from the Bible. Jerusalem is approximately where Bethlehem is.
That's absurd. That's absolutely absurd. Okay.
No, that's so true, though.
Let me ask you this. Is the Book of Alma inspired of God?
Oh, yes, it is.
Is it on the same level of inspiration as the Old Testament, the prophets?
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying is that God then told Alma Jerusalem because Alma would not understand Bethlehem.
Well, I'm sure he would have understood Bethlehem, but he was teaching the people also.
So he told him that which was not true.
No, he told him he was born in Jerusalem. That's not true. That's true.
He was not born. He was born in Bethlehem.
He was born in Bethlehem, but he was born at Jerusalem. That means he was born near Jerusalem. Exactly what it says. It's not an approximate.
But language is not used like that.
What's that?
Language is not used like that.
But the word "at" means approximately or exact.
How approximate do you permit that? In other words, if he was born in Bethlehem, why did the Holy Spirit confuse the issue by saying he was born in Jerusalem? When, as a matter of fact, everybody knows that Jerusalem is not Bethlehem. That's the kind of ingenious interpretation that no one would have ever thought of. Can you give me any other examples where that kind of scripture is used? Now, this doesn't work in Kings because you know if you studied it, that the city of David refers to Jerusalem regularly. And to say that he's talking about he was buried in Bethlehem when it says that, it's silly. It says Jerusalem.
Where was he born, though? And where was he buried? He was buried in Bethlehem.
No, he wasn't. He was buried in Jerusalem. How do you know?
I don't have the scripture
up
here, but I know that it talks about him.
No, it doesn't. That's the only reference to his burial. He was born at Jerusalem, the city of David. But Jerusalem is called the city of David because he was king there. Now, and you see,
I can't find the scripture now. There's another scripture that talks about.
Let me ask, why did the Holy Spirit tell Alma something that wasn't true? Or Isaiah, for instance, used the name of Cyrus before Cyrus was ever born because the Holy Spirit was not limited to Isaiah's knowledge or to the knowledge of the people who would read Isaiah to reveal precisely what he wanted to write. Are you saying that the Holy Spirit could not reveal to Alma exactly what was true, but had to reveal this, which is certainly confusing? You have to admit that, if it's nothing else, because Alma couldn't understand it.
Let me ask you a
question. No, not until you answer that question.
I'm trying to answer it. Can you understand all of the prophecies of Isaiah?
What's that got to do with it?
Well, see, we don't, just because the Holy Ghost can manifest certain things to us, it doesn't mean everything that he does specifically, he reveals specifically, we're going to understand. See, at that time, he was trying to show those people in a way that they would easiest understand what he was saying, or the approximate area he was talking about when he said at Jerusalem, meaning in that certain area of the country. See, they'd never even seen the old world. They didn't even know anything about it.
Well, I'll leave the point. I understand your explanation. All I'm saying is that that's an ingenious explanation no one would ever thought of. They weren't trying to get rid of an obvious problem, because this thing of in and at, you fellas have to admit that you don't work that way in other scriptures. I understand Mormonism very well, and you all don't work like that. That's an exception to the normal way of thinking. And by the way, it also says in that text that Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. Brigham Young said that he wasn't. He said, quote, Jesus absolutely was not conceived of the Holy Spirit.
What does it say?
In his book, True Discourses.
I have to read it. I have to read it and find out what he was talking about first.
You don't believe me?
I wouldn't say that he said that he was not born of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that.
Quote, Jesus absolutely, quote, Jesus was not born of the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Adam God. Now, the last part of the phrase. Now, so you can look it up, True Discourses.
Oh, you're talking about the Discourses of Brigham Young?
No, the Journal of Discourses, as we wrote it. Now, now who was right, Brigham or the Book of Mormon?
You have to understand what he was trying to put over the point. He was trying to put over the point that God the Father...
Now, how do you know what he was trying to put over if you don't know that he said it or not?
Because now, you're talking about now that she said it. No, she was talking about the Adam God theory, for example. Okay, I know what you're talking about now. It's the fact that I couldn't explain it.
Well, what he was referring to is the fact that we believe that our Heavenly Father was indeed the literal Father of Jesus Christ. That we also believe that, you know, you'll find the scripture in the Bible that says, no man has seen God at any time. And then in other ones it says that no man has seen God except, you know, he's having the Holy Ghost. He's in the Bible. I believe that's the time. I could be mistaken on that. But we believe that she was overshadowed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's see that our Heavenly Father was the Father of Jesus Christ. We believe that both of them were part of it, definitely. Many people don't understand how that is separated.
I'm one of them. I understand the Adam God theory. It's a strange, folks have a strange system where words do not have their normal meaning. For instance, it says, and conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. Brigham Young said, quote, Jesus definitely was not conceived by the Holy Ghost. Now, if you have a system where words where there's no connection between what the words say and what they mean, that's a strange system.
I've never heard the fact that he would say he's not more than the Holy Ghost. I've never heard that.
Well, what will you do if you find out that I'm speaking the truth? What will you say?
I'll search into it, find out what he meant. So I'm sure there's an answer to it. I'm sure I'll ask the prophet.
Okay.
So you'll have a minute. What kind of answer will you accept?
Just a minute. It says you will conceive by the power of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say that the Holy Ghost, she will conceive by the Holy Ghost. We believe that the power of the Holy Ghost will definitely be necessary for her to conceive.
Did you accept what Matthew said about it? She was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Now, fellas, this is Matthew 1:18. Verse 20, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, by the way, fellas, I've studied into it, and I've studied both books. You're going to check into it later if you want to. I don't know if you will or not, but if you do, you're going to find, without any question, that Brigham Young stands in direct contradiction on this point, not only with the Book of Mormon, but also with the Bible. Matthew 1:18-20.
Well,
how can that be now?
That he could be contradicting it? don't think he was contradicting it.
Now, wait a minute. If he says that she was definitely not conceived of the Holy Spirit, and both the Bible and the Book of Mormon says she was, how is that not contradicting it? You see, if you've got a system that does not depend upon the meaning of words, then that's like Buddhism. That's transcendental. That's mystical. Mormonism is on the same level as Hinduism. If you're not bound by the meaning of words, then there's no way either to prove or disprove Mormonism.
I can prove Mormonism, and you couldn't disprove it.
He's not disprovable?
I'm saying I couldn't prove it. I couldn't prove that the church is true, and you couldn't prove that it wasn't true.
Is there any kind of conceivable proof other than this, back to this question? You see, before you said, and you're contradicting yourself, before you said, if you could come across an external evidence, that is, historical material, then you would accept it. Now, which is true now? What you said before, what you say now?
I'm saying that if I came across something and it was contradicting what I had believed in, I would search into it, and I'm sure I would find out if it was true. I would find out that, but I would find it out by the power of the Holy Ghost, not by you or anyone else. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you want to know if anything's true, or if you want to know if anything's false, you have to go to the Holy Ghost.
I came to Moroni 10, and I asked, I have faith in Christ, and I asked sincerely, and God said it wasn't.
Did you read the Book of Mormon? Did you read the whole book?
Yes, I read
it. You went through it, and you went through it with an idea of wanting to know if it was true. With your heart open, and with real intent, having faith.
What does intent mean? You want it to be true?
Having a desire to know. Opening. It says in that scripture.
I know what it says.
In the last Moroni 10 verse 3, the last couple of lines, it says. Let's see. It says, and when you shall receive these things and ponder it in your heart. You ponder it in your heart. Like you read something in a book and you think about it and you ponder it in your heart. Is this true or something like that? I mean, you have to be sincere about it. You can't go into it the fact that.
Does the test in Moroni 10 not work if.
Oh, yes, it works if you open up your heart and you ask.
Believe it? Will the Holy Spirit tell you it's true?
If you don't believe it, you go in there knowing that you don't believe it.
If before you pray that prayer in Moroni 10, you're not convinced that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God, will the test work?
Depends.
Oh, yeah. It'll work.
If you're doing it exactly the way it says.
Pardon?
In that scripture it says to ask if it's not true.
I ask.
No.
I ask.
Is this not true?
I ask if it's not true. I ask if it's not. I did that. And I have faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't tell me it was true.
Well, I don't expect you to tell you it's true by saying, yes, the book's true, but... If you've asked and you've asked...
Well, if you already believe it, then why ask?
And you have a super thought.
If you already believe it's true, why ask?
Get the confirmation from your heart that it is true.
Right.
I believe a lot of things, but I don't know for certain that they're true. But I do know that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God.
But what good is that? If you already have to believe it before it's confirmed, then how can you offer that
to anybody else? Well, you don't have to believe it before it's confirmed.
But you said you did.
Sure, I did. But I didn't have to.
But I didn't.
Okay, but you have to want to know if it is true for certain.
I'm not sure I want to know this.
Not to disprove it for any reason, having no doubt in your mind. You can find out.
Wait a minute. If you had no doubt in your mind, you would be fully convinced
it
were true.
No, I said no doubt in your mind that you could find out. Maybe that's what I said. But I added a little phrase on there. I'm trying to take back.
So.
That you would find out, having no doubt in your mind that you would find out whether it was actually true.
But therefore, if you're doubt the if you're not really convinced, then the Holy Spirit will not confirm it.
If you don't think you're going to get an answer, I don't think you will.
Did you get an answer?
You bet I did.
You bet I did too.
Right. Now I continue to read.
What did God say?
Well, He didn't speak to me, but He touched my heart through the Holy Ghost and let me know that the things that
you saw a vision.
No, I felt the Spirit of the Holy Ghost come into my heart and let me know that what I testified to people, that book was true, that it was. And I can testify.
What do you say to someone who says that they went through the test and
their sincere heart?
What you're saying, what you just said, is this: because the Holy Spirit did not confirm it to me, therefore I was insincere. Because if you are sincere, the Holy Spirit will confirm it to you. See, that's There's no way that can fail. That's loaded,
mm-hmm.
isn't it? So, you see, now listen to me, fellas. Listen to me. If it can't fail, then it's worthless when it succeeds. That's like a team. If they can't lose, their victory is meaningless. If it can't be proved wrong, then it can't be proved right. And if that test is worthless, unless you already believe it, or already in harmony with it, then it's worthless. It is absolutely worthless. Word, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. You see, I believe that the ultimate authority in what I believe is true is the written Word, not my feelings about the Word, not my inner notions, and not my inner convictions. You see, with you fellows, with the Mormon Church, your primary conviction, source of knowledge, is your inner conviction. And then the Scriptures, whether it's the Bible or the Book of Mormon, are simply a commentary. They sort of bolster up, go along with what you know inwardly. See, the problem with that is that your only source of assurance is subjective, what you feel on the inside. Let me ask you this. How do you know that, in other words, we're not on the same grounds because I don't accept my inner notions as being the absolute will of God or word of God. That's not how I know I'm in the will of God, because I have been wrong about too many things. And the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that it is the absolute, it is the standard. Now, with you fellas, your inner conviction is the standard. The problem with that is that you didn't see a vision. You told me that, did you? Did you hear a voice?
No, I didn't.
How do you know that your own subconscious mind was not simply confirming to you what you were raised and taught to believe?
How do I know that?
How do you know that?
Because I know it. It's just not through prayer I know that the church.
What would you say to a Buddhist who gave that exact reason for believing that Buddhism was the path to God?
They heard the wrong spirit. You probably said the same thing to me.
Okay, how can you prove? How are you going to measure this? How are you going to measure this?
I can't prove it.
You see, if you can't prove it that way, if it can't be disproved, it can't be proven. You mean you believe something you can't prove?
He's talking about proved by physical evidence, by facts, as men supposedly understand them.
But you see, if every time, and here's how you fellows work, every time you come across a fact, and I've talked to many of you, you simply cannot deny the evidence, then here's what you do. You say this: well, I don't know what to say about that, but I do know that God has confirmed to me that Mormonism is true, and that's what I'm going to believe.
So what's wrong with that?
You're
basing it all upon the fact that our Heavenly Father hasn't. So you can't prove that He hasn't.
But the point is, you can't prove that He has.
So, there's...
But you see...
What use in our shit is there?
Well, it's this. It's the reason I'm spending this time with you fellows is for your benefit. Because, you see, a system like that which cannot be disproved cannot be proved either. In other words, you don't really know.
Sure, I
did. Yes, I did.
Except you don't know any differently than a Buddhist knows. He knows. You say it's a false spirit that's revealed this to him, but he doesn't think so. He doesn't think so.
That's right.
You don't think so, but you see, you're fighting by the same rules. You're following the same ground rules. You see, if Mormonism is true, and that's the only way that it's true, that's the foundational way that it's true, then Mormonism is no different, no different whatever, than Buddhism. You fellas are all on the same
Except verse. For one thing. One of them's got to be based on fact, doesn't it? On truth.
How do you know? What kind of truth?
Truth's truth, any way you look at it.
That's what I've been trying to say.
I know,
okay.
And I agree. I've agreed with you all along. So
okay, suppose you find
you're basing truth on faith, which is great. And I have too, up to a point, until I can find out for myself. The power of the Holy Ghost.
Suppose you found that some of the I could, you see.
If I found that book right there was true, the one you've been talking about, the one you spoke out of, if I found that Joseph Smith had prophesied that Jesus Christ was going to come in a few years and he didn't come, and I found out that the Abraham, which you were talking about earlier, was true, no, I wouldn't be a member of this church. I wouldn't. Because then I would know it was false.
Are you going to check into it?
Oh, yes, I am.
Let me ask you this question. I appreciate it. I'll accept it. I won't argue that. I think it's good. I appreciate that.
But I know because... Let me say this, though. I know the Book of Mormon is true. I know the Pearl of Great Price is true. And I know the Doctrine and Covenants is true. And I know that we have a prophet of God today in our church. I know that because I have studied it, and I've prayed about it, and I've come to know that through prayer mostly.
But suppose you come across material that calls that into question.
Well, then I'm going to study it. I'm not stupid. I'm going to things like that.
But yeah,
say it all.
Okay, I'll accept that. I'll buy that. If you'll do that, then you have no, you'll not have any argument on me. My question is, will you do it?
Oh, yes, I'll do it.
Okay,
let me ask you this.
How did you find out if the Bible is true?
Personally, me?
Yes.
Oh, through several years of studying its historical context of canon and text, of studying the manuscript evidence. There's no question about
it. You don't feel you've had an answer from our Heavenly Father?
No. But no, Bob doesn't say that.
Okay, that's interesting.
Let me ask you something else. When you were studying the Book of Mormon, did you have this book here with you?
No.
Did you have any?
I had the Book of Mormon years before I had this.
Did you have any other kind of book or any other people telling you about the Book of Mormon and other things about it?
No, I probably did. I don't know exactly. I don't remember exactly what.
Did you have anything?
Let me ask you this. You see, when I study the Bible, I know what you're saying. Let me tell you something. You see these books on my shelves?
Uh-huh.
Good many of them are anti-biblical. When I was studying the Bible, I was always also studying the writings of men who didn't believe the Bible. And yet I believed that the Bible was strong enough to withstand any criticism. Now, do you believe that about the Book of Mormon?
I sure do. I believe that about the Book of Mormon very much. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a book in this room or any part of the world that can prove that book wrong. I don't know.
Now, as far as us being able to prove that those books are wrong, we may not have enough because we haven't had time
All you're doing is rehearsing to me your conviction. I already know your conviction. My question is, for instance, you say that you believe the Pearl of Great Price is right.
Oh, yes,
let me ask you this. Hey, okay, I think we've covered that ground. I don't want to beat a dead horse. And if you'll do it, if you'll do what you'll say, then I'm say hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. This is kind of on the side. If, were you telling me the truth when you said that you never heard about this controversy over the manuscript, the Chandler manuscript behind the Book of Abraham?
You mean about...
you never heard about the controversy, the problem?
This guy getting kicked out? I've never heard that before. Never.
You never heard that there was a real problem concerning the Book of Abraham?
No.
Let me ask you this. Now, it's been in the newspapers, been general religious publications. It's been the number one doctrinal problem confronting the Mormon Church. An emergency situation in Salt Lake. How come you never heard of that? Why I'm questioning is, does this suggest anything to you boys?
What's that? Does it suggest?
Sure. Suggests that anti-Mormons are still plugging away, but they're not working because the church is growing faster than the other world.
Except the Jehovah's Witnesses are also growing, you see, and so is the Roman Catholic Church.
We passed them as far as percentage-wise.
See, truth is not established by majority vote.
I don't know if that's true.
Now, see, the point is...
But see, there, right there, you're going back. You're saying truth is not established by majority vote, but you're believing what the majority of the people are teaching, as far as Christians. You're accepting that as truth.
But you say we can't use. And you have not accepted the majority of what the Mormons teach is true. You're saying that suggesting that what I believe is not true because I learned it from non-Mormon sources.
No, I'm not saying that.
Yes, you were.
I don't believe.
If you knew it or not, that's what you were saying.
Well, that's not what I meant.
What did you mean?
Well, what I meant is the fact that we can, Okay, what was your thought there that you had mentioned when you said that? You said that...
I think I lost it. Let me say this while we're thinking, that I believe the truth is truth. Inwardly, externally, subjective, objective. Coming from Mormons, non-Mormons, Christians, non-Christians. You see, I don't believe that everything a Mormon says is false. I believe the Mormon Church says many very true things about Christianity. Because, you see, a truth is a truth. The Bible records that the devil says certain things that were true.
Oh, man.
Okay. You see, But you felt need to understand that you cannot dismiss. You can't say, "Well, this was written by anti-Mormons, therefore it's not to be taken seriously."
Why not? Why not?
Because so
until somebody can prove to me that I haven't received a witness from the Holy Ghost,
Let me ask you this: would a non-Mormon try to prove to you that Mormonism is not true? Would a Mormon try to prove to you Mormonism is not true? Would you accept?
For the most part, if they're.
Do you accept what a non-Mormon says seriously?
Can I accept it?
You listen to it.
Right off the bat?
Well, it depends on what you say.
According to the rules you suggest, nobody who is not. In other words, only a Mormon is inspired of the Holy Spirit. Only a Mormon has this inner witness. Only a Mormon has the real way to find truth.
I never said that.
That's exactly what you said. That is exactly what you, not those words. You were saying that how can you know truth except you have this inner witness? It's to divide direct revelation. Is God revealing things directly to non-Mormons?
Oh, sure. Yeah. We don't think that you can't receive a revelation of the things that we tell you. No, we don't believe that.
But Joe Smith believed it.
He did not. He didn't believe that no one else can receive a revelation to what he taught them.
So the Mormon Church is not the true church.
Why would we tell you to go out and search out and find out that's true if we knew you were going to get an answer? That's kind of stupid. Why would we tell anyone to ask if this is true if we knew they weren't going to get an answer because they weren't a Mormon? That's ridiculous. How do you expect people to get a testimony of things like that? We don't believe that.
The thing is, you can present two sides to any one of your your arguments, okay? You can present your side, certain people say that this happened. We can present our side, certain people say this happened.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
But see, there's, until you can, absolutely prove it, I don't see how we can accept one or
the other without receiving... That's fair enough. Okay, now, what kind of proof, you use the word absolutely proof, what kind of, I already told you what kind of proof, I gave an example of the kind of proof that I would accept. To quit believing in Christianity, or if the enemies produced the body, or if there was documentary evidence that the New Testament was late, there was all kind of objects that I would have to, because truth is truth. Okay, what kind of evidence, external evidence, not this inner witness stuff, what kind of evidence would you accept that would prove to you that Mormonism is not true? Now, I want to answer that question.
Yeah. If putting on those exact terms, I'll qualify my answer, and if you'll let me after I just give you a straight answer.
I'll let you.
None. Okay, without the witness and the Holy Ghost. See, that's the point you put in there. That's the strength of our whole church. And
I
agree.
I understand that. And it's subjective, not objective.
So, if it's true, what does it matter?
Suppose, was D.J. Nelson working under the power of the Holy Ghost when he produced evidence that Joe Smith had not translated it correctly?
I don't know. I haven't studied. I could not tell you.
But you see, if you believe the Holy Spirit works within the context of the Mormon Church, maybe not exclusively, but certainly, that he's always going to confirm what he's already told you, then how could any objective evidence refute Mormonism by the rules you've laid down? Suppose you found that Joe Smith really did predict the coming of the Lord in those years. Suppose you find, as I've said, it's true. I've chased it down. That Brigham Young really does contradict the Book of Mormon. Suppose you find, for instance, that Micah is quoted several hundred years before Micah was born in the Book of Mormon, and on and on. Like, suppose you find that the evidence suppose you find that the reason that the Mormon Church has not released not only D.J. Nelson's translation of the book of those scrolls, the Chandler manuscripts, or even Nibley's. Suppose you find the reason is they don't want to because they know it will directly prove that Joe Smith was a prophet. Now, how are you going to handle that according to the rules that you've laid down?
Okay, according to the rules that I've laid down, then my first answer was wrong, wasn't it? If those things were true. In other words, if those things were true.
How do you know if they're true or not? That's what I want to know.
Well, I've already explained that.
In other words, you look at the evidence, and if it says...
On our ground, it's just the same. If you come on our ground, you can't beat us. If we go on your ground, you can't beat you.
No, because you see, the difference is this. The difference is this. The standard for my belief is the objective material.
Right. That's your ground.
Okay, your standard is subjective. I can prove objective, you cannot prove subjective. That's the difference.
That's right, but see, it's just like you said, you can't prove us wrong on our ground.
Now, that's exactly true. Nobody in the world, see, nobody in the world can prove that Mormonism is wrong if you go by the Mormon rules, simply because you cannot prove it wrong. It's impossible. For instance, if Joe Smith rose from the dead, came back and said, I lied about the whole thing, that would not disprove Mormonism. It would not disprove it at all. Why? Because you've got this built-in guarantee that you cannot be proved wrong. It's this inner witness of the Holy Spirit. But you see, if you can't, therefore, that's a very, so if you cannot prove that it's wrong, you cannot really prove that it's right either. Except to yourself.
Yeah.
You're simply saying, I believe it because I feel like it's true. And I believe that the Holy Spirit makes me feel like it's true. That's your only evidence. And I understand Mormonism, at least as well as you fellows do. And I understand that this is exactly how you work. I understand how your mind works. I also understand that as far as a level of assurance, how you know the foundation of Mormonism is exactly the foundation of Buddhism.
Except for one of them is a different place than that.
Well,
based upon something else.
See, the point is, I can deal with Mormonism because I do not say that the external evidence, is subject to being strained through my inner convictions. You do. Therefore, you see, any evidence that would obviously, to your senses, to your eyes, to your human, mundane faculties, which would seem to prove that Joe Smith was a prophet, cannot prove it to you, simply because what you're going to do is, you're going to resort back to this inner conviction that you feel that it's true, therefore you will dismiss this evidence. Now, you say you won't. You say you fellows disagree with each other. You said that if you found these things to be true, that you would leave Mormonism. You said you were subjected to the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right, and that's how I'm saying the same thing.
Okay, let me ask you this.
That's how I'm going to find out if it's true.
Suppose you find that Joe Smith that did not translate these at all, let alone accurately, and you pray about it. What might the Holy Spirit tell you about that? About what?
If I went before the Lord and said to the fact that did Joseph Smith or did he not translate this, and I had a good feeling in my heart telling me that what I had just said was true, then I wouldn't believe it.
Okay, you would believe that he had translated it correctly.
No, I believe he wouldn't. If I asked the Lord if that was true, if I asked him,
suppose he said,
if
suppose,
did not translate.
Suppose, and I suspect this will be the case. Suppose he said yes, he did translate it correctly. That would that make that translation correct?
Who said it?
Suppose you read this evidence, and you find, as is clearly found, there's no question about it, that he did not translate them accurately.
Which one?
The Egyptian scrolls, which were translated.
Yeah. I mean Joseph Smith or the other guy.
Joseph Smith.
He did not translate it correctly, and the Spirit told me that. Did
you
not translate correctly?
If you read this material, then you ask God to let you know whether Joseph Smith had translated them correctly. And if he translated them correctly, then all the Egyptologists, including D.J. Nelson's Mormon Egyptologists, have translated it wrong. Okay. Now, so what you're really asking God is who translated it right, Joseph Smith or these others? Suppose the Holy Spirit, you feel that you get the conviction in your heart that Joseph Smith translated it correctly. That would make these other translations false.
Right.
Then, suppose that 1,000 Egyptologists translated them. Again, some Mormons, as has been the case, or non-Mormons, and the translation was still the same, not even close to what Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith's translation would still be correct. You see the problem you've got? See, that's what I'm saying, is that you fellows believe in a system that cannot be disproved.
We believe in the Holy Ghost. We believe that God the Father can send His Spirit to us through the Holy Ghost, and He can bear testimony. And if He does, I believe that.
Okay.
The Bible teaches that. You say it doesn't, but it does.
Where does it teach that?
Many places it says.
Just name one. I don't need many, just need one.
He said the Holy Ghost would guide men into the truth.
He said He would guide the apostles into the truth. They got everybody into the truth. They delivered truth. Everybody's not an apostle.
That's true.
Now, but doesn't teach
said that if he would ask, where's that?
You see, fellas, if there's no way that you can be proved wrong, then how do you know you're right? Other than just you feel like you're right. You see, the reason you feel that way is you were raised to feel that way. You were trained to feel that way. Well, you weren't trained to feel that way?
I was raised to ask God if it was true. That's what I was raised.
Of course, you see. And you were taught to interpret, as a Buddhist is taught to interpret, as a Pentecostal is taught to interpret. You are taught to interpret your inner notions, your convictions, your feelings about things as guidance from the Holy Spirit. And that's how you interpret it. And I'm not trying to be unkind.
If it matches what's described in the scriptures, yes.
That's not what you said, though. Because if it doesn't match, all you do is
pray about it. You're adding an extra thing that we weren't talking about.
Okay, I don't mean to be unfair. Tell me.
You said that if we were to, we were taught, you know, that we were to interpret. Okay. But now we never said anything about interpreting them. Right? We believe that it's the Holy Ghost that revealed it to us. And we believe this because of many reasons. One thing is because that's the way it's taught in the Scriptures. That
which Scriptures?
Doctrine and Covenants, the whole Bible. Let me see, the Holy Ghost.
Well,
the Bible, the Book of Mormon, all of them.
Friends, you read your prayer in Thessalonians, which says that those who got away from God, that God sent them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You read the Bible about Satan putting in the hearts of people. You read about Paul, who says, I thought I did God's service. I thought I was on God's side. I was just convicted I was. Matter of fact, I wasn't. I was his enemy. Now, you see, you'll have to admit that the Bible teaches, and I think the Mormon Church also teaches, that it's possible for a person to strongly believe that the Holy Spirit has confirmed something to him, but he hasn't, as a matter of fact.
Sure, I agree with that.
How are you going to find out if it's not?
Test the time. We'll have to go, won't it?
You mean you have to wait till you get to judgment?
Maybe.
It's
kind of
late to find out,
isn't it? Well, I've already found out.
See, we're back here. You guys are in a circle.
Lord tells us, so he says, to ask him if something is true. He says he will give the answer to man. He will give to all men. That's what he said. He said again in James. He says, thinking he lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That giveth to all men liberally, and that bringeth not.
See, wisdom is not special. Not wisdom is the ability to use knowledge.
Ask in faith, nothing wavering for that fact. I mean, you have to ask in faith, and nothing wavering. Faith that the Lord will ask, answer your prayers. And with a pure, not wavering from one side to the other.
But you see, the way that we know that we are in the Son is by the Word of God. John says this, and by this that we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Right. Whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. By what? By the word of God. Not by some inner testimony. Now, Chris, I realize you fellows make no distinction between the two. Well, you see, there you are. We ended up exactly where I knew we'd end up, because, see, you're in a circle. Now, what I want to know is, as you leave, I want to know this. I'm not going to ask the question, because I don't want to make a liar out of you. Because, you see, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen then. You're going to go, and chances are, and I don't mean to be unkind, but I've had a lot of experience with Mormon before, chances are that you are not going to look into the things that I've said. I have had several tell me that they're going to look in. For instance, I had presented evidence before to many Mormon elders, all of them from Salt Lake City, Utah, and there's from the Brighamite, from the Salt Lake, not the reorganized church. And I have had talked to many of them, and I have presented evidence, such as the Chandra manuscripts and other. I could listen to you boys, all of you, spend all of our time listing other kinds of evidence. And they would say, yes, we're going to check on it. We'll let you know. Another one even said that I can't answer this, but our bishop, if he were here, he could answer things with the bishop right here.
Bishop Cullen?
Yeah, anyway, the superior old one fell over. Anyway, and he promised me, give me a time, and I've been promised by Mormon elders many times before that they would check into it and let me know what they found. And not one was ever checked back. Now I'm going to be here, fellas. You said you're going to check into it. First place, I don't believe you. I believe right now you think you're going to. I don't think you're lying to me. I think you're going to, but you're busy. I think when you get out of here and start talking to each other, you're going to reconfirm one another. You're going to reinforce the feeling in one another that there's nothing whatever to what I said. It was all, see, I'm anti-Mormon, therefore nothing I say can be true. That's how you work, and that's what you're going to do. Chen, you may be different. You may really check into it. See? But if you find that objectively, you understand what I'm saying? This material. Regardless of whether you pray about it or not, are you going to take it seriously? Suppose you find that there is no evidence whatever that Joseph Smith translated the Book of Abraham accurately, except your inner conviction after praying about it that he did. Is that going to be sufficient for you?
After praying about it? And the Lord told me he did, you mean? In the Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'd be sufficient. Well, then all I've got to say to you is don't bother.
Don't bother
checking into it. Because, you see, you are subconsciously geared to the fact that whatever you believe is true, you're going to pray about it, and you're going to feel that it's true because you want to believe that it's true. And you've been raised to believe that it's true, and this subconscious feedback that you're going to feel you're going to interpret as the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't know that it's not, but you don't know that it's the Holy Spirit or not. You've been taught to believe that it is. So, my recommendation to you is don't waste your time. Because you see, you're in a system that cannot be proved wrong because it has set up rules.
It's guided by the Lord,
It's guided
by the Lord through a prophet of God. Mm-hmm. And it can't be disproved because it's perfect. It's under a perfect direction of the Lord.
The reason it can't be disproved is that because the rules for truth exclude any argument that could conceivably. For instance, if I said, here's what we got. Suppose I got into a football game and I said, now we're going to play football. You got your team, I got my team. You ready?
Okay.
You have to abide by the rules in the NFL rule book.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is, I make it the rules I go along. My rules are that you cannot tackle me, and you cannot intercept my passes, and you cannot get in the way of my receivers. I have an infinite number of downs to reach the other end, and it's illegal for me not to make a touchdown every time. Now those are the rules. You want to play with me? No. Okay. Now that's where, you see, I'm on the other side. Those are your rules. That's how your guys are playing. That is, you're saying, I believe it inwardly, and it's perfect. Here's some external evidence. Oh, well, I will subject this evidence to my inward conviction. Obviously, my inward conviction is
going to reaffirm it.
I'm
not going to subject that evidence.
Oh, yes, you are. What you said.
No, I'm not. That's not what I said. I said I was going to study it. I'm going to look into it.
And if you're not going to pray about it. You're going to ask God to tell you it's true or false.
You're not a kid.
That's what I said. So you don't say you didn't say it.
If he says it's not true, then it's not true. No matter what John Doe put in that book, it's not true if the Lord says it's not true. And that's a fact.
But you see, how do you
God
know?
God doesn't lie.
If God does not speak to you in words or visions or dreams, does not appear to you, how do you know it's him speaking and not just your own subconscious mind? Now, your answer is, I just know.
Yeah.
But you see, that's not an answer. How do you know?
We can't explain to you what we have. That's very obvious. But see, what do you do when you find documented evidences in the church that things did happen? See, you cast them aside just because you say things didn't happen?
Like you just casted aside the revelation that I read to you. I read it to you and you never heard a word I said. About the doctrine of covenants,
the difference is this, that you accept the Bible as the Word of God properly translated. And I don't accept that at all. See, you can't expect me to play with your rules. You quote to me doctrines and covenants. What you're doing is you're quoting from doctrines and covenants to prove that the doctrine and covenants is from God. That's arguing in a circle. It's called begging the question in logic. So you can't do that. I can't see, you beg the question. How do I know? Because I know. Well, how do you know? Because I know. How do I know? If I said, somebody said to me, how do I know the Bible is true? Well, it says it's true. But you see, you can't accept the testimony that it's true unless you first believe it's true. It's already in a circle.
And you never, you say you prayed about it, you never received any answer.
No.
And you believe.
I believe what? Grammatically, because the Bible is infinitely secure and sound, it can be historically verified by all kinds of truth. You see, the Bible.
And you believe that's what the Bible says is the way to find out if it's true.
Exactly.
Okay, that's what you're doing. You're doing the same thing we are. Sure, you are.
No, because you're looking at Mormons.
You're doing it in your way, and we're doing it in ours.
But the difference is that your way is a subjective, and mine is objective. That's the difference. Soul, you say soul, but soul is all the difference in the world. Soul is the difference between being a Buddhist kind of religion and true religion. Soul is the difference between having only one kind of truth and two kinds of truth. And so is the difference between, you see, are you really so arrogant and so presumptuous as to say that all of revealed truth, all testimony by men, whether prophets or not, all that's been written by men of all the ages, but in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, and all this is subject to your own inner conviction about whether it's true or false or valuable or worthless? Are you that sure of your inner conviction? But you see then, how can you be proved to be wrong?
You can't.
Right. Right. You can't. Therefore, you can't know that it's wrong, and you can't know that it's true, other than by saying, I believe it's true.
I can bear that testimony and feel good about it.
Right. Well,
I can feel good and know that what I have said is true.
Let me say this. I know that Mormonism is false, and I feel perfectly good about that. I feel just as good about that testimony.
Yeah, now we'll find out when judgment day comes.
That's right.
Who's wrong, won't we?
Well, that's too late to find out.
The Lord says we'll be condemned by our words.
The Lord says we'll be judged by every word that we say that comes out of our mouth. And I know you're going to be condemned for saying that.
How do you
because
know that?
You said, because you prophesied or you testified that book is not true. You testified that Joseph Smith is a prophet. I testify to you that he's not a prophet, I should say. And I testify to you that he is a prophet.
Okay, how do you know that your testimony is true and mine is false?
How do I know that? Because I've had the Lord tell me through the Holy Ghost that it's true. I know that. I know it. And it wouldn't matter how I told you anything about it or what I said. To the fact that I know it because of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, because you don't even understand the Holy Ghost. You don't have that power in your life.
How do you know?
Because you said you didn't.
No, I didn't. I had the gift of the Holy Spirit.
He says that you don't rely on that.
Well, how could you ever get to the different Holy Spirit?
That's right.
You don't rely on the Holy Ghost. For what?
For guidance and understanding.
I didn't say that. I said, I don't rely on the Holy Ghost to tell me whether the Bible is true or false. Let me ask you this.
That's what it is, though.
If the Book of Mormon or the Bible, if a person cannot know whether it's true or false, if an unbeliever cannot know whether it's true or false, until he, how can an unbeliever ever become a Christian?
Okay.
He has to have the gift of the Holy Spirit before he can become a Christian.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. That's what you believe about. Let me say what I believe about the Bible. I believe the Bible is true, whether a person believes it or not, and I believe it stands on its own, and I believe that it does not depend upon inner testimony, because you see, the reason that the Mormon Church has to rely so heavily upon this inner witness, the reason this is drilled into you guys, because historically, and I've cited some of the evidence, and you have not dealt with any of it. All you have said is, I don't know anything about it. I'll have to check into it. Now, I chose not to spend the time. Else I could have listed 100 different examples. You see, I know more about Mormonism than you do as far as its historical evidence. Now, you know more about the inward workings. For instance, I knew about the church's controversy about the Book of Abraham, and you didn't. I don't know many things that you don't know because you're on the inside and things are being concealed from you. Now, as far as the inner workings of the Mormon church, the temple ceremonies, and all that, you know much more than I do, of course. Now, enough to myself. But anyway, I forgot what I was saying. But anyway, the point is that you fellas have a system which, you see, if nobody can prove you're wrong, how do you know you're right? Other than you feel that it's right, but I feel that I'm right. Now, mine's not directly from the Holy Spirit. I believe on the basis of the Word. Have you ever felt something? Let me ask you this now. Have you ever felt something was true and later found that it wasn't true?
Well, we've never said it was a Holy Ghost or a deal with Jesus, and it was true.
And then I went on a mission to the church. Because, see, I didn't used to believe the church was true. All my life, I didn't believe it was true. I wasn't sure about it. I wanted to find out.
Well, here's what's going to happen. I think we've gone the circle. You see, you have stated this, and you were right. You really understand the system. I'm sure you do, too. But you said it. But there's no way that Mormonism can be proved to be false. You're exactly right. I think you fellows ought to know that. You see, and the reason is that your source of authority is transcendental. You know what I mean by that? It's not bound by objective facts or effective objective facts. See, objective evidence is simply is to be run through the strain of your inner conviction. If it does not survive that test, it's to be rejected no matter what it says. You've always said that, and I'll tell you what. But you see, and I don't want you fellas to think about this, that you, see, the Bible does not stand on that kind of material.
What do you do? Let me ask you this. What do you do when someone like, say Dr. Klausner of the Hebrew University comes out with his book about the life of Jesus Christ and brings up evidence that these things didn't happen?
I examine the evidence.
And if
his evidence stood up under the test of the canons of historical criticism, I would have to conclude that Christianity was false. As a matter of fact, it won't. What are you going to do if you find out that the Book of Abraham will not stand up to the canons of historical criticism?
Well, we've already been through that.
No, we haven't. You said that if you found out that it
I
would not withstand the canons of historical criticism, you'd pray about it and then and get the direct. You, in other words, your final court of appeals is the Holy Spirit.
Right. No.
But then you see, you're never going to really know whether the Lord is really telling you. You fully believe it, and I don't question that. You see, you don't really know that that's the Lord telling you that.
Yes, I do.
Okay, but see...
No, you believe it,
we can,
you don't know it.
We can catch you by that same trap.
Okay, catch me.
Because if that's the way we're going to find out if something is true, okay,
then
your basis is totally on man's belief, not necessarily on truth. Now, just because a man believes it does not necessitate its truth.
I wish you guys knew that.
Right? Okay.
Okay.
But if our Heavenly Father believes it, and he tells it, okay, then that means it's truth, right?
Right.
Okay, so someone who is claiming revelation for our Heavenly Father, one of them has got to be right, not necessarily someone who is claiming evidence of man.
How about if these men...
Evidence of man can be proved...
For instance, how about if these men wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit?
Well, that's Scripture, then.
And how about evidence that does not depend upon human testimony? This evidence, for instance, you see, if the enemies of Jesus produced the body, that would not be human interpretation. The body would speak for itself. You see, sometimes, fellas, evidence speaks for itself. It's not a matter of an anti-Mormon out to get the church. You see, in Mormonism, everybody in the world is a liar but those who support Mormonism. I know, I've read your literature. Everybody, anytime, for instance, all the newspaper writers back in the early days when Joe Smith was in New York before he wrote the Curtain, all that they said about it, they were all liars. All the affidavits about the Solomon Spaulding manuscript found, the manuscripts, the two manuscripts, those were all liars. The bank examiners at Kirkland, everybody was a liar. Everybody lied but Joe. And how do we know he didn't lie? He said he was telling the truth. We believe him, right? He said so.
Yeah, it's in the Holy Ghost, so I know it's telling the truth.
How do you know it's the Holy Ghost? Because you know.
Right.
But you have no...
You're seeking for a sign, though. He can show you a sign.
I'm not seeking for a sign.
That's the way I look at it. If you were seeking for us to show you that the Mormon Church is true, that's a sign.
No, it isn't. I'm asking you to show me from the evidence.
That's a sign. I can't show you any evidence.
Well, the word sign in the Bible means miracles. Don't get mad at each other, fellas. By the way, the last three times I've talked to one another, they have gotten mad at each other. So don't you do it, okay?
I'm not mad at you.
Control each other now. Control yourselves now. the one time I talked to him, if I hadn't been there, the senior elder, the one who was the trainer, not the trainee, would have beaten up on the other one if I hadn't been there. I had to get out of my chair and stop him from poking me in the eye. So I'm going to ask you fellas to control yourself.
Yeah, we're not. I'm not.
Okay. Now listen. Don't get me wrong. All that I've said, nothing is personal. You understand, I'm talking about the issue. Nothing, I don't dislike you or I'm not out to get you. I don't hate you. I'm trying to talk about the issues, and that's why I'm really concerned about you fellas, because I'm concerned about your souls, and I want you to see the nature of your faith.
I can see that.
I want you to see the nature of your
faith. I know you're sincere in exactly everything you say, and I know that.
I'm not trying to embarrass you or confuse you. Well, I'm trying to confuse you, I guess. I'm not trying to just walk out of here and say, I won that argument. I'm interested in winning arguments. What I'm interested in is that you fellas love God very much, mm-hmm. and you have faith in Christ, and you want to do what's right. And the Mormon Church, as it is today, is exceedingly moral. It is exceedingly uplifting. It has made tremendous, tremendous contributions in the area of education and family life. And I recognize that. And I do not think that you fellows are a couple of bums. I think you're very fine fellows, very noble, and I respect you a great deal for what you're doing. And because I feel this way about you, I'm trying to get you to see that you are in a transcendental religion, and that this is, and the Bible sets itself against this, and that you were raised in Mormonism, and that you are really a prisoner of it. Because, now listen to me, try not to think I'm saying it because I'm an anti-Mormon. I'm not anti-Mormon, I'm pro-Christian. Listen to this. You see, if I were in a system, again, like the football game and the rules, yeah, if I were in a game where I couldn't lose, see, I could not lose, as you've admitted, couldn't, there's no way to prove it wrong. Okay, then what would my victory mean? Suppose I went to this game where you know, I infinite number of downs, you could not intercept my pass, you could not tackle my ends, you see. And I, obviously I would win. What would my victory be worth? Well, of course, be worth nothing. That's a rhetorical question. Okay, if your faith cannot be disproved, if it's always subject to your inner conviction about it, you see, and the Lord, see, as you've already been, the Lord doesn't speak to you in a voice. He has not appeared in front of you.
No, He has to many people.
But He just, it's just inner witness. Then, the Bible says, no man has seen God. No man can see God and live. Now, the...
My Bible also says, I'm not mad.
And it also teaches that, well, Stephen, for example, he saw both God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, standing on the right hand of him.
Okay, I'm not getting to that. But the point is that you are a prisoner of a system, because there's no way you can break out of it. Because any truth that could get you out of it, the ground rules by which you play make it impossible for you to come out of it.
But that, again, using your own basic groundwork, can be refuted just by the people that have
refuted,
have gone out of it, escaped, if you want to call it that.
But they've done this because they have, like what the Tanners wrote this book, because they have decided that their inner notions were not a sufficient guide to authority, and they have accepted objective historical material and then interpreted their inner feelings in light of the objective material. And that's the only way they get out of it. You see, and you refuse to do that, though. You see, you will not do that.
Right.
Right. Okay. Now, but you see, you're going to win this game, this discussion of ours, like our football game. You're going to win. But like the football game, what's your victory worth?
Well, if what we're saying is true, it's worth living again with our Heavenly Father or not. In our shoes or in your way.
But you're going to walk out of here, and you're going to realize, now, down deep, you're going to realize that your faith is a little more than a case of very sanctified, very religious, very moral, wishful thinking. Down deep, you're going to know that. Because you're going to suspect and fear that maybe, even though I pray about it, and even though I feel so strongly that what I believe is true, maybe the evidence which has been mounting up over the years is true. Maybe Jill Smith was not. Maybe I have been fooled. Maybe just like the Jehovah's Witnesses who were raised in a Buddha, the Buddhists and the Catholics, maybe I'm just like them. Because they're prisoners in their system too. And you're going to think that. Listen, after our discussion today, you are never going to be quite the Mormon you were before, because nobody, I can tell by talking with you, that nobody has ever discussed this with you on this level before. Nobody has ever talked about the basis of your authority.
I've never heard the fact. Just the particular ones that you came up with. I'm talking about the objective versus subjective. I'm talking about the strength. Oh, yeah. We talk about that in many ways in the church ourselves.
Yes.
The fact that the Holy Ghost itself...
Well, I stand corrected then. Did you ever discuss...
Not in a way you have, I'm not saying that, but okay. In many respects, much like what you do.
You see, you know that what you believe is true. And if you know that what you believe is true. But you see, after our discussion today, fellas, you're not going to be quite so sure as you were before.
Now, no, I'm going to be more sure.
No, we will, because we know this is true. I hear what you're saying. You're going to confirm each other. But you see, you are intelligent fellows. You're not stupid. And you are honest, basically. I think you want to be honest. I think you are, basically, honest. And you have understood what I said today. I have not been talking about a wall. You've understood what I said. And because you're honest, and because you've understood, because you're men, The human mind and truth are of such a nature that whether you know it or not, right now, whether you would ever admit it to yourself or not, you're never going to be sure that you could have lost the game because the rules were such that you had to win. And you see, I've kind of drawn the analogy of our discussion as a game, you understand, with all the qualifications to which it is subject. But you see, you won. What do I mean by you won? You walked out of here with your faith intact because you couldn't lose. Nobody could intercept your runners. Nobody could knock you down or grab the ball. And you had infinite number of downs to get to the end zone. But you see, what if you played by the real rules and lost? You see, I'm not talking about losing the game, I'm talking about losing your souls. And that's my concern. I appreciate the fact that you're concerned about mine, and I thank you for it. I honestly do. I thank you for it. I consider it an honor that anybody would talk to me out of concern for my soul. I'm not trying to smile. I honestly thank you for it. And I want you to know that I'm sincerely and honestly in talking to you about your... See, if you lose the game, there's everything.
That's why I know it's so important that you study this out now. I mean, sincerely study it out to your own self. To find
me?
Out, yes. To find out
to
if it was a problem.
Listen, I have studied for years.
But you haven't gone into it with the right attitude, I don't think.
No. I have gone into it with it being as objective as I can. Let me ask you this. If my studies are worthless... Or defective, not worthless. If my studies are defective because basically I did not believe he was a prophet before I started studying, are not yours equally as defective? That is, as far as their value, if you did believe he was a prophet before you studied?
All right, let me ask you.
No, answer my question.
First, I was going to ask you something.
Okay.
Anyway. I was going to say, if you had prayed and if you had received a special witness for Jesus with the prophet, would you believe it?
No, not necessarily, because all my life I have...
No, I mean a special witness, like, I mean, a spirit of the Lord appearing to you, and you know that he's
because,
the Lord, and he said Jesus with the prophet.
Now, if he appeared to me and spoke me in a voice...
And that's what I mean, okay, and a special witness, I mean, you're special than the Lord.
But you just told me yours wasn't. You just told me that it did not hear a voice,
right.
You didn't see a vision,
right.
Didn't dream a dream.
I'm saying of a special witness.
Okay.
More the fact of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost or a personage, a spirit appearing to you and telling you just with his prophet, you would believe it, right?
Not necessarily. I would again, to any experience is subject to the Word of God. The Word of God is the authority in my mind, not my experiences.
No, that isn't what I mean.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, maybe that is what I mean.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, like, what if you're praying in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, or let's say a personage, a resurrected being, maybe Joseph Smith. I don't think he's resurrected.
No, I know.
But let's say that a resurrected being appeared to you and said that the church on which we represented him, the Book of Mormon and other things were, let's say the Angel Moroni, let's say he appeared to you as he did Joseph Smith and told you that the Book of Mormon was true. Would you believe it?
Not until I had checked it.
Let me ask you this.
Because the Bible says that Satan's ministers appear,
yes,
as angels of light.
Okay.
So I would have to check it and see. Because the Bible tells me, test the spirits to see if they're of God.
Right. How do you test them?
By the Word of God.
No.
Let me ask you this.
Well, how do you test
if the Lord appeared to you?
How do you test them?
How would I test them? The way Joseph Smith told me to.
How?
Let me tell you that.
Yes.
Okay. If a spirit, okay, Joseph Smith taught that there was two kinds of spirits. There was a spirit personage with the form of a person that had a physical body, or didn't have a physical body. He was just a spirit, okay? He did not have a physical body. If he was from the Lord, he would appear to you, and like if I had a spirit appear to me, I would offer my hand to him to shake his hand, to touch his hand.
If he couldn't touch him, he's not from God.
If he refused to give me his hand,
yeah,
and gave me the message that the Lord had told him to come down, then he would be from God. If he gave me his hand and I felt it, and it was a hand, he would be from God. But if he gave me his hand and I felt it not, that would be the test.
Okay.
And I would know he wasn't, and I would rebuke him by the power of the Holy Spirit.
But in your witness, inner witness, neither happened. In your Mm-hmm. Neither kind of appeared to you. Okay, back to my question. Okay. If my belief, if my conclusions about Joseph Smith are defective,
not true, you mean?
Not reliable.
Oh, not true.
In other words, if what I believe about Joe Smith is not this belief that I have, or non-belief, is not reliable because I did not really believe he was a prophet before I started to study, then of what value are yours if you did believe? You see, neither one of us are neutral or objective.
Well, first when I started out, I wasn't sure.
But you tended to believe it.
Well, I don't think so.
Were you raised in the Mormon Church?
Yes,
and
I was.
Then you tended to believe it. Now,
No, I wouldn't say I did because of the fact of the way I was raised.
Well, but you were not hostile to it.
Against it?
Let me ask you this.
Most of the things
you fellas in general, and you fellas in particular.
I wanted to find out for sure because I knew it was going to be an important aspect of my life.
Right. Well, that's fair enough. Sure. Yeah, I'll buy that. You have suggested in here, perhaps said, our conversation kind of went on, that my belief or non-belief about Mormonism was defective because I had studied a lot of anti-Mormon material. How much, controversy, how much anti-Mormon material did you study?
Well, I had a buddy who was, I won't mention the church. I had a friend who was not a member of the church. His dad was a minister of their faith. And his dad gave me every, this is when I was about 16 or 17. And I wanted to know if it was true. I had a lot of problems in my life, and I wanted to know if it was true. And I started to search into it. And he gave me a book. I don't remember the name of the book. He also gave me a tape that told about some man who was a 3-hour tape. And I listened to almost every bit of it. There's anything that I didn't hear. I had a lot, let me put it this way, I had a lot given to me just by him and other friends because I was in a rock band I used to sing. And many places that we traveled to, the people were not members of the church. And they knew we were because of the reason we formed the band in the first place. And that was to gain money because most of the young men in the band wanted to form a mission. And they wanted to gain money to form a mission. And so many of the people knew that and they respected us for that reason. But they were always coming up and telling us, well, what about this and what about that? And so I started questioning all the things that I had been taught. I wanted to know if it was true.
And how did you decide they were true?
Through prayer, like I said.
Through prayer.
You see, through studying the things that they gave me. I'm not saying just through prayer because I would
have... Did you answer every objection in every book?
Yeah.
Through
teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith. I shouldn't say that book. I
suggest you didn't. I suggest you prayed about it. It was true.
No, you mean to the fact that I didn't go to
I know
to
you prayed about it.
Find about
I convicted
it.
That. You already told me how you work. I know how you work. Would you study this book? Read all the way through.
When I study this book right here?
Mormonism.
Read all the way through.
You can write off and get it. Now, by the way, it has to be true because it's all photocopies, microfilms of Mormon from the Mormon archives.
Anyone can take a book and...
Why don't you read it through and see every way that it's false? How the material is being misused or misrepresented, taken out of context.
Is this just from members of the church? You mean that what it was? It was from members of the church? Is this from prophets?
You see,
what do you mean?
From prophets? Yeah. They say truth is truth.
No, that's what I mean. I was just wondering. I'm asking.
No, these were a standard tanner was a descendant of Brigham Young.
No, he means the things that are contained
in here. Are these
written? They're written by who are they written by?
By everybody. Joseph, they got copies of the Book of Mormon, earlier manuscripts.
Okay,
everything.
That's what I was asking.
Everything. You see, it is.
Is it like a diary, writings from other people that they kept?
Everything. And it's from the Mormon archives themselves.
Okay.
And you see, they studied it, and they're all Mormons. And it's all material. Now, I suggest to you that all the prayer in the world is not going to make the material in here false, or many other books, too. And all the study in the world isn't going to make that silly little book true.
This is not a silly little book. This is the Word of God, and I know that they were prophets of God who wrote that book, and I know that Joseph Smith was a prophet who translated that. I know that. Through studying it. Through studying the book and finding out if it's true. There's many things down in South America to talk about this, and I'm sure you're well aware with.
I'm more aware of it than you are, and what the Mormons say about those civilizations is foolish. There's not a Mormon. You find me a historian who's not a Mormon who takes it seriously, or
Jack West,
or an ethnologist who's not a Mormon, yeah, who considers the American Indians Semitic. The American Indians not Semitic. And by the way, Mormon Church teaches that only that this was revealed to Joseph Smith, the American Indian. Through the Book of Mormon, this was the first knowledge that the American Indian was a descendant of Israelites. That nobody.
I don't know if the church teaches that. Yes, that's the only thing that I've. That's the first place I've heard it.
Well, you see, I myself have handled the books, which are the outline of the Book of Mormon and the material, in the rare book rooms. One written by Jonathan Edwards. You see, the Mormon church teaches, and I said it at the first time, that one of the reasons they know that this was a revelation from God is that nobody had the idea that American Indian was Semitic, the descendant of Israel, until this was revealed to Joe Smith and through Joe Smith. That's absolutely false, because I myself have handled books that predate Joe Smith, but tell it in detail. Mm-hmm. So you fellas, let me say this to you in all love and concern.
Well, just a minute, I was going to say about that. You mean books that were
written before Joe Smith?
Before Joe Smith, yeah. How do you know Joe Smith ever got a hold of those books?
I didn't say the Mormon Church said that Joe Smith didn't know about it. I just said that the Mormon Church said that nobody knew about it. It was a widely held myth. By the way, in fact, I wrote my master's thesis on the theory of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. I can catalog it for you. What the Mormon Church teaches about this is absolutely false. Let me say this, and this brings us to mind. I say this in all love, and I'm not trying to put you down. I say this because I am concerned about you. And I think this comes into focus when we talk about the Chandler manuscripts and the Book of Abraham, that you fellows have been deceived. Because I have read Mormon literature, much of it, not all of it, of course, but much of it. And much of it simply is not true. And I check to see that I know that the church has been in a much controversy about the Book of Abraham, the panic in the upper echelons of the out in Salt Lake. And yet, when I was out there in December, I asked some of the adults there who were guiding us through the public relations building, whatever you call it, and I asked two of them about it. And neither one had heard anything about the problem. Or now either one, because, and yet there's no way around this, fellas. Number one, either those fellas are lying to me, or somebody's been concealing something from them. Now why do you suppose, let me ask you this now, you're a Mormon and I'm not, why do I know all about this controversy
and I don't,
and you don't? That would be like, see when they found these manuscripts, they wrote the Mormon Church and said, hallelujah, you are in luck. You thought these were destroyed? Here they are. They weren't destroyed, the Chicago Fire. Aren't you glad? Their response was, we don't want them. What do you suppose would happen to the church today if somebody says, we've dug up a copy of the Book of Romans, the original copy. Do you want it? Why? It'd be worth billions of dollars instantly. The church would fall over itself to get it. Why didn't the Mormon Church want it?
Why didn't you hear
anything?
I don't know.
It's general knowledge. It's in here. It's in general. It's general knowledge, isn't it? You see, you fellas.
Now
you smirk. Because you say, here's an anti-Mormon who's not inspired by the Holy Spirit lying to me.
No,
I'm not a liar. I'm not a liar. This material that I've told you is to be taken at face value. If you check it fairly and objectively, you will find it. Why are you smirking? You think I'm lying to you?
No, I don't think you're lying. I think you're sincere in what you're saying. I think that you believe exactly what you said, that this is a sheer knowledge that can even be by other people. But where that knowledge came from, where that source came from, I don't know.
It came from Niblet.
Who's that?
He's the man who's in charge of them, who has the manuscripts now.
Mm-hmm.
He has said, brother, he has been out in print, the boys were in trouble. He's the one who asked D.J. Nelson that we need help, come and translate these for us. We need a Mormon translator. Nelson translated them, and he was forced out of the church. And Nelson said, and I quote,